head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, back again, week number 239 in a row. I have a wonderful pair of the most interesting people in the Ville to introduce you to this week, as I do each and every week. It's got to be like the coolest podcast in the city, right? You don't know, at least among independent podcasts, I'm sure it's the longest running now at 4+ years. It's very exciting to do this work, and I just have a great time going around and talking to people about it and getting involved in stuff, as you're going to hear about later on in the show. Isn't that something? Well, stay tuned. The second part of the show, my second guest is a young woman named Amanda Scott, and she has started an organization called Purpose Driven at purposedriven.org. They have a fundraiser coming up on February 12th, and that is a home for women who have addiction problems and they're who have made the decision to get to change their lives. And Amanda tells her own personal story, and she brought along Lauren, who was also at the one of the first graduates of this program. My friend Jason Smith is involved in it, so urge you to stick around and listen for that. And let me tell you, before we get into my first guest, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. PlatinumPanel.com, if you are interested in trying things for free and getting paid for it, well, trying out stuff like food and drink and being part of a consumer research panel, you can sign up at PlatinumPanel.com. And I understand there are some interesting and wonderful cash rewards for some of the things they do. So all you have to do is go to PlatinumPanel.com and sign up. They'll get in touch with you when a test is coming up that you may qualify for. And they're trying to build up that that list. Matt Schulte of that company was on this show a few weeks ago. And you're welcome to take a listen to that one again. But PlatinumPanel.com and my friends at Passport Health Plan. Boy, I have been doing a good time, having a good time going around the city, talking to people for the PassportWellbeing.com website that they created as part of their move of their corporate headquarters to the West End. This week I talked to Diane Porter, who is a member of the school board, and a fascinating story. She's been in grew up in West Louisville, has been in West Louisville all her life, and is now on the school board after a 40-year career in education as a employee of JCPS. So look for that on PassportWellbeing.com. Now, I was really excited about my next guest. He is David Jones Jr. You may know him for his stewardship of Chrysalis Ventures, a venture capital company. He's been involved as a board member at Humana. He's done a lot of things, and he has used his money in a lot of great ways, and he has a particular interest in media. And then I can take you back to like 2008, and I pitched I went up there and I pitched the venture capital guys about my first blog, The Ville Voice, and you know, David told me today it was kind of I don't know, satisfying in a way. He said you were just ahead of your time. He ended up making an investment in Insider Louisville in 2013, and the reason that I'm having him on now is because he wrote a piece that Insider Louisville is changing its structure to become a nonprofit. They're going to be asking you, the readers, to contribute to making this thing work. Because everything we've always asked about digital media, especially startups like the ones I've run, and about Insider Louisville, which has been very successful, is how are they making money? Well, I asked David that question, and he has an answer. And we talked about a number of other interesting topics while I was up there at his office on the 16th floor of the First National City Tower, I guess. And nice view up there. And really enjoyed getting to sit down and talk with David for a few minutes about what's going on with Insider Louisville and media in general in our society. So, here, take a listen.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up until it happened to my daughter. if she really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is at Chrysalis Ventures with David Jones Jr., a second-time guest on the show. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick. Very nice to be here.
You got my attention a month or so ago when you, along with Insider Louisville, announced a new structure for the local journalism outlet, and I read it and I said, well, this kind of makes sense, because it seems to me like a lot of people have always said, I wonder how they're making money over there at Insider Louisville. It doesn't seem to make any sense. And so tell me just briefly how this change came to be and what's going to be different for the consumer as we look at local media and Insider Louisville in particular.
So from its founding on, Insider Louisville has operated on the belief that there was a void in local journalism and that there were important stories that needed to be covered but were not being covered. And in 2013, I invested behind Tom Cottingham and John Piles, two successful publishing entrepreneurs who built several successful good businesses right here in Louisville. And we thought at that time that the emergence of the smartphone and the iPad, the tablet, would make it possible to support a vibrant local newsroom based only on advertising, on local advertising revenue.
And boy, were you wrong, right?
Well, we were right in the sense that we grew a good base of ad revenues. We were right in the sense that there was a clear market for the, you know, for the stories. I mean, we've got about 15% of the metro area is a reader of Insider Louisville today. So the appetite for local journalism exists, and there is an ad market. But what we were wrong about, what we did not see coming in 2012, 2013, was the way Google and Facebook would take over the local ad revenue space. And in those intervening years, they are just crushing it. By some estimates, they're taking as much as 99% of incremental local digital ad revenue, and that is a sea change.
Because anybody can do it. I used a boost on a Facebook post last week. I spent $100 and
reached. Right. Yeah, and the reason, I want to be clear, the reason they're so successful is, in my view, not that they're evil, but that they are extremely good for advertisers. They're great places for businesses to find particularly their customers, the characteristics they're looking for politicians to talk to the voters they're looking for nonprofits to talk to the potential donors, and they do it very inexpensively. I mean, like you say, a $100 boost can bring you what you're looking for.
Exactly.
But the magic of their business model, it's magic for their shareholders, it's not magic for supporting a local newsroom, is they don't pay anything for the content. So they can find you an audience based on the demographics of people who click on cat videos or, you know, fake news or,
or geographically
other things, or photographs of friends or, you know, all different kinds of things. People have many different interests, and their algorithms can identify people by a lot of different things. They don't have to pay. Not only they don't pay for printing presses, but they don't pay for local journalists or any kind of journalist to produce that stuff. And so the local ad revenue that stays in this market is shrinking. And you see that shrinkage in all of the, the traditional news sources. You see it in the Courier Journal, where they're, by our calculations, based on their, their mastheads, they've gone from about 40 to about 17 non-sports journalists in this, 2012 to today period. There are a lot of stories that are not getting covered. So our business didn't work as a business, but there's an audience there. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to ask another question? You want me to keep rolling?
I think the thing when you talk about the Courier Journal and even Business First thing is I'm a producer, but I'm also a consumer of media.
Exactly.
And you know, I now hate the Courier Journal. I don't really look at Business First because there's giant paywalls here. Now, inside of Louisville, the public media operation, I think it's important to, you know, see that that's a difference in philosophy and strategy, which I think hurts the ones that have paywalls.
Well, I think a couple of comments. First of all, I also find the paywalls I find them intrusive. I often find them offensive because they spin up something that
even if you pay
attention.
For it, you have to go through some hoops to get
so,
the content.
You know, but I, on the other hand, I understand their problem because I assume that the CJ and Business First and all the other long-time publications that employ and have to feed a legitimate newsroom. They have the same revenue seepage. I mean, the click rates are very, very low. And when you try to live on that, you have a problem. So they're, I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I also want to be clear, this quest for a way to have vibrant, independent, legitimate local news is, I love what Insider's doing. I'm a, donor to it.
Sure.
But I've also been a donor to the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, to public media. I'm a subscriber to the other publications we've talked about. And I want there to be at least one, and ideally more than one, vibrant local newsrooms, which to me is 15 or more journalists, ideally who are competing to find the news in an old-fashioned way, but one way or another, you don't have time and I don't have time to go do independent research.
Yeah.
A lot of the big stories that break are basically somebody goes and looks at information that is in plain sight, published in, government open records, either open records or just sitting there on websites that nobody, things like the pension crisis. I mean, this has been a boiling frog for, for years, right in plain sight, but it's taken a long time for the attention to come to it.
Yeah,
partly because I would say the decay of the civic invisible infrastructure around our our information.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's. I mean, you pointed out and talked for just a second about things not getting covered. Now, I remember. Even 10 years ago, the Courier Journal had a reporter who covered Jefferson Hill, where I live.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There has to be a shooting or a crisis or something major for them to cover anything out
That's
there.
Right.
So I'm doing stories that would normally be covered by the Courier on my own. And I think that points to the fact that a lot of stuff just doesn't get seen.
Well, and I think people in many different parts of Louisville feel the same way. Probably the most commented upon divide is the the East-West divide or the 9th Street divide, where West Louisville, as far as I can tell, almost everyone who is living there and is interacting with the different media sources we've talked about feels like the only coverage of West Louisville is shootings and crime and mayhem, when in fact there's a lot of other things going on there. Louisville is also a metropolitan area that includes, geographically, a whole lot of square mileage that is across the river in Indiana. And I think, southern Indiana is, very poorly covered. If you look at it at Louisville from above and see construction patterns and where new warehouses are going up, there's a lot going on in metro Louisville across the river.
Let's talk about inside of Louisville and the changes there, because it's sort of exciting to see things going the other way. In other words, your plan is to increase the number of reporters in the newsroom to 15. I don't know, they don't have that many now, I know.
No.
But, how can you do that, and how is this citizen funding process? I guess it's been out there for a month or so now. How's that going?
Yeah, so it's very early days, but we are ahead in our contributed revenues from, you know, small donors.
Okay.
And we're on track in the number. Now, I would say at this point that is not... it's cause neither for celebration nor worry. I mean, we know that, you know, we know a lot because the other thing I should have said, Insider Louisville is a digital first platform. It's not a print platform that is coming to, you know, digital.
Right.
It's not a radio platform that has, you know, most of its airtime committed to a national franchise operation and only a small news hole for local. It is, you know, it was designed to serve the, you know, digital audience, you know, mobile native, all of these good things. One of the characteristics of that kind of operation is you know a lot about your readers. And so, you know, we knew that people were engaging with our content, with our reporting. So, you know, so far so good on the individual donors. We're slightly ahead on our large donor solicitations. And we're, you know, we're on track for what in the pre-nonprofit days were called corporate advertisers, and now are called sponsors.
Yeah.
So the corporate support is continuing to grow. In order to succeed, I'm going to show you a picture, which, apologies, okay, this is radio, but you know, we kind of have a, I mean, there are a number of role models, but we've simplified it to where we have really one organization. It's called the Texas Tribune, which started in 2010 in Austin, Texas, as a, you know, digital-first, nonprofit news organization with the same goal that we enunciated, to create a vibrant local newsroom. And, you know, from 2010 when they started with $0 up to today, you know, 2016 they were at about $7 million of revenue. In 2017 we think they were over $8 million. The way you start, you know, these kinds of organizations is you have to start asking for individual contributors. You have to build up your business sponsorship. And you have to get some large donor and foundation sponsorship in the beginning, which is,
okay,
you know, that's what Texas Tribune did. And it took them 2 or 3 years to move to the point where they had a, you know, a sustainable break-even operation. You can see their number of reporters here. You know, they started with 12 in 2010. And they moved, you know, to over 40 today.
Wow.
They're now a statewide operation. You know, they're sustainable based on...
And is that the kind of goal for Insider, to be
statewide? Texas is about, I think Texas is 26 or 28
yeah,
million people. Kentucky's, you know, 4.6 or whatever we are.
Okay.
So the scale that it takes to cover Texas is, they have five cities way larger than Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scale, our target for Metro Louisville is we need to get to 15 reporters. So that's about a tripling of, you know, of where we
wow,
are today.
Okay.
But the model of, you know, start explaining yourself, be transparent, you know, have a good independent board of directors, and, you know, explain to people the importance of, you know, of local news, and if the citizens want it, you know, we will deliver it.
Yeah,
and,
let's hope they do.
I hope they do. Yeah,
yeah,
I hope they do.
That's the big thing. I'm sorry, David, we're out of time here on the show,
right,
but it flies by. But I'm very interested in following this and anxious to see how that goes.
Well, thank you, Rick, for your interest, and you know, I know you've been in these you know, journalism wars and finding that business model for a long time. So I appreciate you talking to me.
Great. Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
All right, and this is Rick Redding back with you on the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm one of the most interesting people in the Ville. I think David certainly qualifies as one of those. I really enjoyed talking with him about media. I think we could have gone on for much longer. in the show, and it really made me stop and think about the way media has evolved just in the last 20 years, because it was really 20 years ago. I was a reporter at Business First, and I remember distinctly going up to the publisher, Tom Monahan, and saying, you know, I've heard about this internet thing, and we don't have email, and it's coming, and we need to get it. And they kind of laughed at me, honestly. And, well, eventually, you know, we all got it. And then they were resistant about posting things online, posting articles from the paper online. The collective thinking of the media heads at that time was that they shouldn't give this stuff away out online. And I talked to David about that, and he says that that was the biggest mistake the collective media made back when they made it, was that they started giving away their content for free. And now today, the only ones that can really successfully do that are like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the big publications that have readers all over the country and all over the world. All the ones that are on a smaller basis, like the Courier Journal and like Business First, all they do is piss you off. They piss you off. You click on a story from Facebook, which, as David mentioned, Facebook is the one that's getting all the advertising money in this town. You click on a story there, and you go and you see the headline in Business First, and you get, you know, two lines, and you know, you can say I'm cheap if you like, but you know, nobody wants to spend money on media. Unfortunately, the subscription model is just not working. So fortunately, there will never be a paywall at Insider Louisville. There will never be one at LouisvilleKY.com, where the website I continue to operate, nor will there be one at RustySatelliteShow.com. And coming soon, a relaunch, a very exciting new project. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that eDrinkTalk.net is coming back in the very near future. You can go over there now and see some of the some of the things we got posted there, and we're going to change the look, and some very exciting stuff is coming up in the very near future. Now, also, this part of the show, for new listeners, is where I talk about some of the things going on in my life and the life of Louisville and Kentucky, my hometown and home state, and I really had an experience this week. It was a very exciting time for me. I had to make a huge, giant decision because I was approached about running for office, believe it or not. In where I live in J-Town, the State House of Representatives, seat 31, has been occupied by a Democrat, Steve Riggs, since 1991. And Riggs is retiring, and the filing deadline was Tuesday. And I was being persuaded by some folks who thought I could win. I know. Stop laughing. That's what my friend Mark Ebert did the first time I mentioned it to him. But I got advice from a bunch of people, and I just discovered that I didn't want to give up things that I would have had to give up to run for office, and I didn't want to do some of the things that you would have to do. I would have liked to be involved in the legislature. I would have liked to have done the job, because I like to think that if you're in that seat, you can make a difference in the world and fight for the things that you think are important and all that. So that's a part of the gig. So ultimately, I decided at the last minute not to go to Frankfort and file for office. So that seat, you can say it attracted only two candidates, one Democrat and one Republican. The Democrat was Josie, I think her name is Raymond, and she would have been a formidable foe, but she is an unknown. And I'm surprised it's such a big district. It runs all the way from way down Breckenridge Lane, way out into Fern Creek. And I'm surprised it didn't draw a bigger name to the table to try to get that seat. Riggs has been there forever, and good for him for retiring on top, I guess you would say. So anyway, my day for political office may come, but it's not this day. And I'm happy to move on. I got a lot to do. I'm doing this podcast and the website and freelance writing. I drive for Uber and Lyft. I do a lot of stuff, and I got new projects on the work, in the works. So that's where that is. Now, you also heard, and I'm talking about stories that get some attention. Now, at the end of last week, I think after we taped this show, there was the whole controversy about Jeffersontown City Attorney Skylar Olt, who made a terroristic threat online to my friend Chris Thieneman, said he would do his damned level best to break his neck. A public official said that. And apparently, he's not going to suffer any consequences. I have been trying to call the mayor, his boss, Mayor Bill Dourif, who won't respond to my calls or emails, who, if he'd listen to me when I give him some media advice, you don't just avoid the media and hope it goes away, right? So far nothing has happened with Mr. Skylar Olt and his decision to threaten the life of a guy that's about 2 feet taller than him. But he did, I have seen that the day after all this brouhaha occurred, and there were news coverage of Chris's press conference about it, and Olt himself appeared on a local TV station. He did take his Facebook page down. Okay? And he did apologize. He did make a big production of an apology. I still think that if you're a public official and you publicly threaten to kill someone, there needs to be some consequences. And I still feel that way. But Olt is in the middle of my other controversy over Airbnb in J-Town. And if you go to LouisvilleKY.com, I talked to an attorney friend of mine who looked at the law in J-Town. And all the people in J-Town think that, at least not all the people, but the people on the city council, based, I assume, on the advice of Skylar Olt, they say, well, we've already got a law that prohibits short-term rentals in J-Town. Well, I looked closely at the law, and I showed it to a lot of other people, and I got an attorney, a friend of mine, to look at it closely and review it, and he said, well, this doesn't say that short-term rentals are against the law in J-Town. That's not what the law says. So, if J-Town chooses to continue to enforce this code, it's going to be interesting because the law is not clear. It's more clear that it is not against the law or against the code to do it. I won't go through the whole thing, but I urge you to look at LouisvilleKY.com, where I've written a story about this thing, and that's what's going on with that. There's your update on Airbnb in J-Town. All right. Well, not a lot of time left for news. I did want to mention that at 4th Street Live, there's a story out today that Edward Lee's new restaurant, Whiskey Dry, it's more of a bar. It is scheduled to open finally February 10th. It was first announced and scheduled to open last year, but you know how that goes. Delays. There's a lot of movement in the restaurant industry. A lot of those stories you can find on eatdrinktalk.net right now, and urge you to take a look. And I'm going to be keeping up with the culinary scene, and you'll hear about it right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. All right. Well, let's move on to our next guest. I heard about PurposeDriven.org through my friend Jason Smith, who is the webmaster extraordinaire and does all my technical work here for the Rusty Satellite Show and LouisvilleKY.com. And Jason told me about this program he's involved with in helping these folks who have drug and alcohol dependency problems, and he has a friend, Amanda, who works at Dish on Market. She works at Dish on Market and is got a quite an amazing story. I won't tell you here, but listen to the interview, and you'll hear all the things that she's been through and how she has turned her life around and is now helping others. They've got either 9 or 10 women living in this house, in I think it's at 46th and Market in West Louisville, and all those women have made a decision to get out of the life of dependency and drugs and alcohol and get on a new path that that doesn't include those things and is healthier for them and their children, for those that have children. So Lauren, who she brought in as a guest for the interview here in the studios, also has a great story you'll hear on the show, and April was here too. You'll see all their pictures on the RustySatelliteShow.com website. So tune in for that. Listen up to the interview, and I'll be back to close the show after this is done.
Hi, this is Alec Vols, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding. I am joined in the studio right now by Amanda Scott, who is the director of Driven Purpose. All right. See, I was just seeing if you were paying attention, Amanda. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
And you have with you two folks from Driven Purpose, which is, I should say very quickly, is a home in the West End. Mm-hmm. At 46th and Market, that houses, I guess, women who have had substance abuse problems.
Yes, there. Absolutely.
Okay. And so we have Lauren and April here, and Lauren is up next to the mic. So, Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. let's just say, first of all, off that you all are hosting a fundraiser on February 12th. Mm-hmm. At which Buffalo Wild Wings is it?
It's the one on Hurstbourne.
Okay.
So, you come out on February 12th, any time of the day, and you just tell them that you're there for Driven Purpose. They're going to donate 10% of your check.
Okay.
To help us move forward.
Okay.
In our little project here.
Okay. And it's a pretty amazing story, I guess, Amanda, about you and how you came to lead this organization, because you came out of a world of dependency, right?
Dependency and chaos is what I call it.
All right. What happened?
You know, starting at a young age, I got interested in partying, and I never stopped. I just gradually went down a path of destruction and, I mean, pure chaos is what I call it.
And you started how young?
14.
Over in New Albany, okay.
Yeah.
And so how did you come to the point where you said, I got to do something different?
Really, it wasn't my decision at first. You know, I started going downhill, and I wasn't talking to my family. I had lost all contact with any friends. I didn't show up for work for 2 weeks. But my sister came and kind of saved the day, broke through my window. I was laying on the couch having seizures, and they called the ambulance, and they took me. And while I was in there, I had a few folks talking to me about, you know, you need to go to detox and stuff like that, and so I just said yes, just to kind of calm them down, because I was tired of hearing them talk about detox and all that. You know, we never want to hear anything that people have
well,
to say.
Well, nobody does, but so many people need to hear it, I guess.
Absolutely.
And good for your family for stepping in. So what step did you take next?
I went into treatment, went to rehab. I stayed in rehab for 11 months, and I just went through that. I mean, it's something that I had to do for myself, and
okay,
you know, it brought me to where I am today.
And then Driven Purpose is something you and my good friend Jason Smith are involved in. How did you get that off the ground?
Well, Jason is one of my bar regulars.
Okay.
I bartend today, you know, and we were sitting there just having a conversation one day, and he's like, well, you got a business plan? And I said, absolutely. And he's like, okay, well, just send it over to me. Well, the next morning he calls me, he's like, let's do it. And I was like, are you serious? You know, I was shocked that somebody was going to take me serious, because 5 years ago nobody would take me serious.
Sure.
On a business plan. And we just dug in. We bought this old house in the West End. You know, it was run down. We couldn't even get the water turned on until we had a plumber in there. When the plumber came in, turned on the water, it was like a waterfall throughout the whole house.
Wow.
And me and my partner, Jolie, we renovated the whole thing in about, I don't know, 60 days. And Jason would always be like, are you sure you can do that? I'd be like, if I can't, YouTube can. You know, yeah. YouTube can teach you anything.
You can learn how to do anything. You can probably learn how to host a podcast on YouTube.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
So.
Well, that's good. So, the two of you basically I'm sure you had some contractors and some
people
to help.
We had a few. You know.
Well, you fixed up this house, and
we fixed it up, and then you know we went into start getting residents, and we got our first resident, and it was just it's taken off since then. You know.
Okay. Well, a lot of people share this this agony, this of either alcoholism or drug dependency. There's a lot going on in the news about that right now, and you know it's a problem. Nobody really has a total solution to it, but you have room for how many women there?
We have 10 girls. We're planning on expanding here soon to kind of move on. We want to do a three-phase process throughout Driven Purpose. You start off in a four-month, pretty much controlled environment. We basically watch over you at all times, and then you're going to move on to the second and the third phase. The second phase being that you're going to help the new girls. And the third phase is just kind of a transition where we're going to teach you financial and how to live, you know, life without dependency.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's turn to Lauren here, and Lauren, well, welcome in. Tell us a little bit about your story, because you're set to be, if I'm not mistaken, the first graduate of the program.
Yes. I came to Driven Purpose at about 11 months sober. I had some life situations, but I knew that I didn't want to turn to, you know, my solution as before. I had a friend that lived there, and I called Amanda, went into the house, and it felt so perfect. It felt like home, and I didn't leave that day. The day I went to check it out, I didn't leave. And ever since then, the house has given me so much. Today I have a group of sisters that I never had before, and the love and support in that house is absolutely amazing. Amanda, she puts a lot of her time into the house. She comes there almost daily to check on us and mm-hmm. make sure we don't need anything. She's been absolutely amazing there.
So it's for you, it's been a good way to get sober.
Oh, yes.
And you got people around you that you can share that with. But yeah. I noticed, I was looking on the website, there's a lot of rules.
Yeah.
Is it tough? There's no men allowed.
Yeah, it's just showing us how to live, though. I mean, we have to have rules,
sure.
you know, to learn how to live again.
I always say that I'm like a mom to 10 girls now, because it feels like I'm raising 10 teenagers.
Yeah.
They want to rebel and do things other ways.
Okay.
But all those things your parents taught you growing up, I mean, we should have listened, but we didn't.
Sure.
And, you know, most of us get it in the real world, but once you go through a dependency like we do or any kind of addiction, it's kind of like you're lost. Some of these girls don't even know how to make their own bed when mm-hmm. they come into this house. And so just teaching them, hey, you have to wake up and start your day, drink a cup of coffee. And
sure. What's the age range of the
Right now we're 22 to 37.
Okay.
Okay.
So now I know there's a lot of organizations around town that are involved in recovery efforts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot bigger ones. I mean, yours is, this is, I guess it's amazing to me. This is basically a startup.
Yeah.
And I mean, are there certifications you have to get? How do you, you know, get into this?
We had no certifications, but we are moving towards doing certifications. So that way, when we do expand, we have more capabilities.
Okay. And in terms of fundraising, you've got this event coming up in February, but you know, how have you gotten this thing off the ground?
You know, we started out with a basic business plan, and to keep it running, like, the girls do work and pay rent like a normal, but that's just teaching them how to transition back into the real life and pay bills. You know, a lot of us aren't used to paying the bills. And
yeah.
So a simple thing of paying a weekly rent, which provides, you know, food, bus pass, and anything you need in the house, toilet paper, all that stuff.
Are there like meals provided in?
We don't provide meals. We do make sure there is always food in the house, because when some of these girls come in, they don't have anything. So we do make sure that there is food in the cabinets at all times.
Okay. Okay. So everybody's fends for themselves, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like a very positive program that you put together, and it's something to be proud of, and certainly proud that you've both emerged from
right.
the from the depths of addiction, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's. I'm sure, Lauren, you have friends and family. Are they? I guess they must be happy for you.
Oh yeah, I actually have three. I'm a mother of three kids, and it's amazing because you know now today I'm learning how to be a mom to those kids. Before, you know, I thought that I was, and I'm learning that today. I'm learning how to be a friend, and it is. It's in my family. I'm getting my family back. Before, you know, didn't stay in contact with them, and. So it's definitely a good feeling. You know, my family's starting to come back around. You know, it gives me hope. And, you know, if anybody is suffering and wants a new way of life, like, there's hope.
Okay, okay. Well, that's good advice. And the website, if anybody wants to find out about this, is drivenpurpose.org. Amanda reminded me over and over again. Drivenpurpose.org, and you go there and find out all about the information. And I guess, Amanda, you're still looking for new residents?
We are still looking for new residents, and we're getting ready to take on a second house, so we're going to have plenty of beds. You know, right now we only have 10 beds, but those 10 beds are helping others, and we want to expand and move forward. Our hashtag is together we move forward. So
together we move forward. Yeah. Very, very good. Well, that's a very exciting sounding program. I hope you were able to land the new property, and remind our listeners that go eat at Buffalo Wild Wings for a change on Hurstbourne on February 12th. That'd be a great way to contribute to this great organization. Amanda, Lauren, thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And there you go. There's another episode of The Rusty Satellite Show in the can, and I appreciate you listening. It really, I've really been hearing a lot more comments from people around town who are listening to the show, who have heard of the show. Heck, they ought to. It's been around for 4.5 years. I'm about to get. I'll eventually get to every single interesting person in the city. I think I'm going to keep going. I tell you, I've got one next week. Brendan Evans is a immigrant from Zimbabwe. And owns a business here in town and has a wonderful story. I'll share that with you next week. I've already done the interview. Believe it or not, I'm a week ahead. How can that be? It's a nice feeling, actually, not to have the deadline pressure of getting the interviews. So anyway, I'll find another one next week. It'll be great. I want to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plan and theplatinumpanel.com. for being a part of the show and helping to support this enterprise that I've been doing now for all this time. I would encourage you to pay attention to what's going on in your city and politics, and get to know who's running for office in your congressional district or your state district, or even your mayor and city council. And I will do my best to keep you updated on some of the most important stuff that's going on. So thank you again to David Jones Jr. and to Amanda Scott and her crew who came into the office. And I will be back with you for another episode of The Rusty Satellite Show next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Airplanes in the buildings every time I